Falcons off day today with training camp. You're going, wait a minute, they just started. Yes, they don't dictate this. The collective bargaining agreement does, and so it dictates when and how many practices you can have and all of that good stuff. So they're back at it tomorrow. Big crowd anticipated, Mike, up there at Flowery Branch. We had a great time. Yesterday's camp kicked off. We're back Tuesday and Thursday.
Yeah, it's going to be electric. It's going to be electric on Saturday and Sunday. So give yourself some extra time. We were talking to some folks yesterday at Hooters up there at Mall of Georgia. So yeah, if you're planning on getting there at 8:30, get there and make it 8 o'clock, because you got to get in there, get in the lot, and then they've got shuttles and the big extended golf carts that'll take you over to Flowery Branch, the facility from the high school. So get your butt over there early, man. It's gonna be packed,
no doubt. We're gonna give you another chance to win some tickets, this time to the Premier League Summer Soccer Series happening. When is that? August 3rd at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Tickets provided by Premier Soccer League. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. We'll give you an opportunity if you are a soccer fan. Atlanta United playing again on Saturday against Seattle. 6:30 pregame, kicks at 7:30, and our Braves are at the Rangers starting tonight, which, again.
And so it goes.
Yeah.
Joey Wentz on the bump. Did have 4 shutout innings against the Yankees last
Woo-hoo!
Outing. So, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
Bomb. Basically, think of pitching.
Thank you, O.
The pitching wasteland is a beach, and Alex Anthopoulos is a guy with a metal detector out there. And it's like, beep, beep, beep,
Did
beep.
You ever have one of those?
No, man.
I never had one of those.
Who's got time
I
for that?
I always wondered if anybody ever found anything on the beach. You know, those guys walking around with those.
There's always a story down in Florida or somewhere, like some old timer finds like a watch or somebody dropped a ring.
But like not $1 million.
No, but I real quick, sidebar, that's a Friday, I can tell you the story. Years ago for Larry, Drunk Larry's, I think it was his 50th birthday, we were down in South Beach, at the Bentley at the very end of Ocean Drive.
Uh-huh.
And great hotel, right next to the old, what was then Nikki Beach, really cool club. And there was a couple, and we were all sitting, they had like the chairs on the beach, and they could bring you drinks and such. And it was a couple sitting next to Becky and I, and you could tell something was up. And they were just like staring into space. And he goes to the, I guess, men's room and go get drinks. And Becky's like, hey, how's it going? And she's like, I lost my engagement ring.
Mm.
He asked her to marry her, and she had lost the ring. She said it fell off her hand at the club. Not on the beach. She said at the nightclub.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. And good luck with that.
No,
somebody dropped $25,000 on an engagement ring. You're never going to see that again.
No.
But anyway, because that's what I was, at first I was like, Becky said, oh, did you lose it on the beach? Because if we can go get a metal detector.
Correct.
Like, there's guys up and down the beach. We'll run and find some and get them over here. And she's like, no, we lost at the club. So that needless to say, that marriage got off to a rocky start. At least the engagement process got off to a rocky start.
That's tough. Yeah, I will say this. If you've lost something on the beach, though, if you don't find it within a certain amount of time, it's gone. Like, you're not going to – because it all looks the same. And even though you may be in that vicinity, right, it's very hard to find, especially jewelry or keys or whatever.
Yeah.
It's gone. So – and God forbid you go in the water. You've done that? You go in and you got the keys in the pocket. You forget, like, to clear your pockets out. And you're like, I think I just dropped my key. Gone. I lost a watch that way.
I lost – real quick, it's Friday. We're kind of doing free association Dukes and Bell here. I dropped.
What's the next topic?
I dropped the keys into the elevator shaft in my old building. I'm getting. I was
really.
I was fumbling with the car keys.
Gone.
26 floors. And so, but luck would have it that it just so happened to be the next week that the oldest man was coming to do maintenance, so they'd be able to get in there and find it. And apparently, there was like 4 or 5. I wasn't the only idiot who did it. There was a number of options. Even somebody even dropped the. Imagine the odds of the cell phone's got to fall vertically right through that's tiny space between the floor and the elevator.
I can't imagine. Yeah, that's you've done that too.
It was actually an iPod when iPods first came out.
You lost your iPod.
I was working for Michael Malden, Jermaine Dupri's dad, and was heading to his office. iPod, as soon as the elevator opened, I was going to put the iPod in my pocket right down into the shaft. Luckily, same thing. Maintenance guy came in the next day. So when I came in the next day, security guy was like, come here, man. Basically like, you dummy.
You big dummy.
So the elevator doesn't go all the way down to crush that stuff.
No.
It's
there's springs down there.
There's space.
Yeah, you never played in a play.
Hell well, no.
So fun fact.
Played an elevator shaft before.
No,
I've never been in
No, no, no. Not, so fun fact, I did grow up real young days.
Right.
I lived in Jersey, right?
Right.
And my family lived in, we called it the Projects. It was from, towers. So
right.
If you're familiar with the Northeast, there's,
towers, right?
So we were young kids just being dumb, like we'd hit the button for the elevator to go up, hop out, and then try our best to pry the door open. And that's how we first learned that there were springs down there at the bottom.
Yeah.
I mean, now, unfortunately, on the top, if you remember the first Mission Impossible, there's spikes that come down. That's how we lost Emilio Estevez.
All right, man. It's Dukes and Bell. See, you never know what you're going to learn. Let's talk some dogs. You acted like that was bike riding. You ain't never played an elevator shaft before? Hell no.
We used to grab bed sheets and play like we were parachuting.
Where y'all been, man? What kind of childhood did y'all have?
When are we going to find out about...
A healthy one.
Yeah, exactly. Gunnar Stockton. Let me say this, guys. Marshall, August 30th. Austin right. Peay, September 6th.
And by the way, does Kirby, sidebar, Kirby cover the spread in both those games? Probably not. He generally doesn't do that.
Well, look, they're going to be a big favorite against Marshall. There's no debating that. But at Tennessee, September 13th. And it's funny because Mark Slaybaugh came out and said that he believes is going to be the first true test for Gunnar Stockton. If you think you're going to get a real read against Marshall Austin Peay, it's going to be inaccurate or inaccurate when you talk about what the expectation is. At Tennessee, now here's the thing, Mike. Maybe the Tennessee defense is good. I just don't know what to believe about the Tennessee offense. With Nico not there anymore, and has it taken a step back? Have they embraced? Look, we saw some of these guys and talked to them at SEC Media Days.
Right.
The Tennessee players, if you talk to them, feels like they all embraced the decision by Josh Heupel to move on from Nico, and it brought them closer together. Now, if you believe that, then they're going to come out and they're going to be playing their butts off. But it doesn't mean that they're more talented. And see, that's the problem. Are they going to be a more talented team than they were with Nico last year?
I love these articles. You know, it's better for him to be in Los Angeles. Yeah, because nobody gives a crap about anything college football in Southern California. Not named USC. But yeah, it's Joey Aguilar, Jake Merklinger, and George McIntyre, for those Vols fans that are out there. And who's going to win? I read an article from the Knoxville paper. And basically, it is a competition. I mean, Josh Heupel's not really giving you anything on this one, but Aguilar is presumed to be the favorite. 6'3", 225, fifth-year senior. And he's the dude who ironically switched. You know, he flipped over from UCLA.
That's right. Yes, he did, because once Nico went there, he came to Tennessee. Here's the catch, though, as we talk about just the schedule and the upcoming look for Georgia. I agree with Slaybaugh on this. That is going to be the first true test. But the stretch of games, Mike, Tennessee on the road, you get Alabama at home September 27th. Matter of fact, we're going to be up in Athens. We'll tell you more about that coming up as we get closer to that game. Kentucky at home, at Auburn, and then Ole Miss. And then you get the break before you get Florida. That stretch of like 5 or 6 weeks for Georgia, that to me determines the season. Forget about the Texas game. That's not until November 15th. Mm-hmm. You got to get through that stretch of games in the SEC. And again, you say, well, you can lose one. Yeah, you can. Can you lose two? With this schedule this year versus last year?
I don't know. I don't think you consider the oldest rivalry game in the Deep South a trap. But Auburn, you know, if Auburn's quarterback play is as good as some you're saying, that's
on the road.
See, that there will be a game. And remember, it happened a couple years ago in Auburn. It was 2 years ago where I want to say,
it was Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers to the rescue.
He took it over.
Right?
He took it over. Yeah, I'm with you on this. I mean, like, we're talking about when we may find out about how we feel or what you think about Gunnar Stockton. Mm. I do not believe it'll be Marshall. I don't think it'll be Austin Peay. I think they'll be in control of those games, and he doesn't have to show his playmaking. He may have to, and it starts against Tennessee, but that stretch, Alabama, Kentucky, Auburn, Ole Miss, Florida, get through that, and then you're talking about at Mississippi State, and then you get the Texas game. And again, if Georgia runs the table, Mike, and you're talking about Texas and Georgia being undefeated November 15th, huge game.
Yeah. Now, I don't know what the depth chart is for Marshall and who left and who's there, but they won 10 games. They were beat pretty handily by Vatek in Blacksburg and in Columbus at the Horseshoe last year.
That's right. Right. And, of course, they finished with Tech, and we know that's going to be
But they ran the table, you know, through the Sun Belt.
Yeah. I'm
other than Georgia Southern, Hail Southern.
Correct. I just look at this and I say, all right, we learn a little bit about Gunnar Stockton, and really that's the conversation here. And then as the season progresses and it goes on, you're going to learn a lot more. But I don't think the first 2 weeks, and it's just kind of what it is. And by the way, to your point, if Georgia's up, would you even leave Gunnar Stockton in the game?
No.
You're
no
not.
Reason to. No reason to.
So that's the other part of this. We'll see how it plays out. Meanwhile, Cade Klubnik and Dabo Swinney Dabo Swinney telling him he believed in him after people wanted him out last year, Mike, at Clemson. Isn't that interesting that Dabo stayed the course with Klubnik? Klubnik's from Texas, guys, came in, highly touted quarterback, and had a really good year. Again, Georgia beat them, you know, beat the pants off of them, and everybody kind of lost faith. But they rebounded, had a really good year, and finished up strong. But Dabo said he stood by him when everybody else, or not everybody, but a lot of people wanted him out.
The South Carolina defense really got after Clemson in the rivalry game. He did throw a pick in that one, but it wasn't able to generate a touchdown. But, yeah, he's finished with 36 touchdowns, 6 picks.
Pretty good.
And the receiver core is loaded. And I think, you know, and everybody, I was talking to Pollock about this off the air, that you got one of the best defensive lines. I think you brought this up the other day. One of the best defensive lines. They're great in the trenches. You know, I think the only limitations are hopefully the coaching staff has learned from some of their boneheaded moves they've made, the assistants the last couple of years.
You think they beat LSU in that opener?
Yes, I do.
Really?
I think LSU loses.
With Nussmeier?
In Death Valley. I think it'll be a high-scoring game, but I think Clemson gets it done. I'm high on Clemson this year.
Yeah, me too. I am too. I feel like it's a must win. This sounds crazy to be the first game of the season for Brian Kelly, but it just feels that way. Talking about Clemson, the Clemson Tigers, then they get Troy.
Right.
And then at Georgia Tech. And this is what we were talking about with Tech. You know, that's going to be one of those games where you really want to judge where you're at. This loaded Clemson team that will be highly ranked. Let us see. Georgia Tech, we're going to find out, Mike, because if that's a blowout, maybe you're not as close as you thought you were, and we had Coach Key on the other day, and I think they're going to be competitive as heck. I think they're going to be in the mix, but I think we find out a lot. If that's a close loss,
right?
People are going to be like, okay, that's a different deal.
See,
at Tech.
Tech, a lot of folks, you know, we said it. Can you win 10 games? That means you're definitely in the conversation, you know, as far as the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
But the Clemson game always kind of looms, and you're right. Will, I was looking for the name. I couldn't find it. It's Will Helt. That's one of the transfer portal guys that Dabo got. That they, you know, remember Dabo for years was dragging his feet on the portal, and they went and got one of the best interior linemen that was in the portal. So that's pretty solid. And then there's TJ Parker. This dude is a defensive lineman, edge rusher. Some guys compare him to Jared Verse. That's a hell of a potent combination for Clemson.
By the way, that Georgia Tech game is noon.
Yeah,
Clemson.
Well, maybe
Clemson here.
Maybe, you know, if you know, it gets early in the season, but maybe if anything, put it at night. There's just something about the night games at Bobby Dodd's so electric.
Oh, I agree. The backdrop. What I said. It's a noon game. They've already announced it's a noon game. But yeah, I wish it was a night game. But either way, we're just looking at some of the stuff. But I thought Dabo, man, this is why guys love him. When you talk to guys that have played for Dabo Swinney, they love him. AJ Terrell, ask him about him. Grady Jarrett, ask him about it.
They all love playing for this guy.
They do, man.
And that's why, like, you know, again, people with agendas, Northeastern sports writers, don't really get the Jesus thing, Carl. So when a coach has got a faith-based program, they crap on it, and they did that. You know, it's fun. They didn't do it with Bobby Bowden because he didn't have the kind of exposure with the media like we do now. But Dabo took it on the chin, and now all of a sudden, I think he's got a team that is built for the long haul this season. By the way, we said earlier last hour, President Trump has an executive order, which people are kind of going through right now, trying to make sense of it. Alabama comes out with a press release saying they're behind it. Florida Gators just came out with a statement saying that they're behind this. And again, the idea is to limit third party, in other words, boosters, everything on top of whatever the House versus NCAA would supposed to be. There's a lot of stuff to go through in the article. There's one on ESPN, one from Yahoo Sports. But basically, some schools are paying their athletes as much as $50 million this year from a combination of house settlement and third-party NIL. So he's trying
collectives.
So that's what he's trying to get in line.
Yeah.
If you're on that side of it, apparently some major programs are backing what the president's throwing out there.
All right, man. Coming up, I think there's a lot of pressure on him. Abe was filling in for the steakhouse, and he talked to him yesterday. What did he have to say about this upcoming season? I think he cost us 3 games last year. Find out what Young Wei Koo had to say next. You want to go check out the Premier League Summer Soccer Series. Mike, who did you say you were going for? West Ham United?
Yeah, West Ham. That's the working man's team. From East London, Cole.
2 p.m.
I'm a Hammer fan.
August 3rd is when it's happening. Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
I believe Michael Caine is a West Ham fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Cockney.
Tickets are provided by the Premier Soccer League, guys. Your Premier League guy or gal, you can go. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. We're giving you a chance to win a family 4-pack right now. 404-726-0929. Let's do caller 10, man, and make it easy on you guys. Caller 10 is going to win. If you're a soccer fan, you're getting tickets.
You got a root for West Ham, Carl. Bournemouth is from Dorset. You wouldn't root for those wankers.
No, you would not. By the way, I just saw, I'm looking at you because Ted Lasso, is it coming? The new season's
season
coming
four,
out?
Right? Is it four?
They're in the States now, right? They're moving it back to the States, I believe.
That's what I saw. You guys lassos?
A little overrated. Overrated. First couple years, I liked it. Kind of flat on it. A little flat.
Yeah. You haven't watched it? Yeah, I watched the first 3 seasons.
I think it gets a little more love than maybe it deserves.
Okay.
It's not terrible, but I don't think it's as game-changing as some people have made it out to be.
Yeah. I enjoyed the first three seasons, and right. it was fun. But, yeah, I saw the previews, or at least the trailers coming out or something like that. Either way, talking about Premier Soccer League, and can't wait for World Cup either.
And those tickets are nuts.
No, they're going to
And again, a lot of this guys—
They're only
going
to go up.
And by the way, I was talking about this with an unnamed Falcons executive yesterday, that it's, you know, this is beyond their control, Mercedes-Benz, any of the stadiums. This is FIA. Okay, so this is FIFA, or FIA, that's Formula One. Dude, I'm messing up my acronyms. But no, this is FIFA, where, again, a lot of this tickets have already been picked up, unfortunately, by ticket brokers. A lot of stuff almost exclusively on the secondary market, and tickets just drew the yin-yang. But again, those folks will pay it, and they'll be here. And driving the economy definitely will bring some loot to our city.
Yeah, because it's an international crowd. Right. You're right. They'll be bringing plenty of money. Hey, man, as we talk about the Falcons, I want you to hear a little bit of Abe, who was filling in for the Steakhouse, with Younghoe Koo, Mike. And I said this, pressure's on Koo. We talk about this team. We missed more field goals than anybody last year. I know he was injured. And by the way, Raheem Moore said that he expects Koo to make a bounce back. He believes in him, and, you know, he didn't linger on the injury yesterday, Mike, but he was like, look, we believe in him, and we think he's going to be fine as far as getting back to the Younghoe Koo that we expected. But I want you to hear a little bit of the conversation with Koo, because I think coming into camp, and we've not spent a lot of time yet on this because there are just more pressing things, but I do think there is pressure on him to show us.
Right.
Speaking of preseason, right. that he can knock down some field goals and we get the confidence back.
And they brought a guy, no, I don't know how accurate Krieg is going to be, but Lenny Krieg, who they brought in from a league in Germany.
He's got a leg, though, doesn't he?
Big boot. He's got some stuff on YouTube where he's hitting some monster kicks, and he's a bigger physical guy. But, I mean, there's no margin for error. The NFL, everything's a one-possession game, practically. You can't have Koo doing what he did last year.
No doubt. Here is Abe Gordon, guys, again, filling in on the Steakhouse, talking with Younghoe Koo.
I did a lot of like asking questions to the veterans that have kicked in the NFL for a long time of what their routines are as far as off season goes and in season goes. And it's I realize everybody's different. And for me, I like to build my body up in the weight room as a strength and conditioning block. So I do that for about 2-3 months and then get it back into kicking around like March, April.
Now, you're coming off of a year, you had a hip injury and things didn't go the way anyone had wanted. Is that fully in the rearview mirror? Are you feeling back to 100% right now?
Yeah, I feel great. I don't think I felt better going to a training camp yet. And not to sugarcoat anything, you know, it was the worst season of my life. And that's, you know, not that it's okay, but you got to put it past you and then move on. Just like if you had a great season, make the Pro Bowl, it doesn't matter. It's the next season up. And if you have a bad season, cool, next season's coming up, you got to get ready and go. So I try to stay in that neutral spot mentally so that, you know, you're not too up or down and you just put the work in, get back to your process, and try to be the best version of yourself.
Yeah, I think you were a Pro Bowler. I think it was back in 2020. How much does a year like last year help you reset mentally your career and kind of maybe find hunger and find drive to work back towards perfection, which you had gotten pretty close to finding?
Yeah, it was, you know, obviously, like, that was a great season in 2020, and then not so good season last year. Cool, like, I know what I'm capable of. I'm excited to get back out there and put the work in and being, you know, the best in the league, which I know I'm capable of. So I'm just going to put the work in and see what happens.
It is Atlanta Falcons kicker Younghoe Koo joining us here at Atlanta Falcons training camp. What's it like having the fans back? Last year, obviously, the construction halted that, but they're out there, and they were popping and energy and feeling it this today.
Yeah, it was a good turnout. I think, you know, you feel the energy of excitement from the fans, and which definitely helps, you know. Us just practicing, you know, ourselves and then having fans or, you know, at the stadium or whatever, it's definitely different. So we're definitely appreciative of the support. It does make a difference, and we feel the energy, and we're just only going to feed off of that.
You set a career long last year in a make. What do you think your legs got? Maybe not right now, but just ultimately as you build up towards the season, what sort of additional distance do you think you might have?
I don't think there's really additional distance of anything. They're going to put me out there for whatever. I'm going to try to make it. I know that.
We are coming into this year. A lot of people are viewing it as a competition at the kicker spot. How are you handling that from the mental perspective? And then has anything changed for you in training camp because of that?
No, not necessarily, because I was on the other side of the competition where I was a rookie going in trying to win a job. I understand how this goes. There are only 32 jobs in this world, really. So whether physically somebody's in here with you or not, you're always competing. You're always getting evaluated. So every day I go out there, I know that I have to put my best foot forward because you are getting evaluated by the, you know, coaches upstairs and everybody, because it is only 32 jobs. So right now, yeah, we have a physical guy in here that is a competition. But at the same time, like, when nobody's here, I'm also always competing. So as far as that goes, like, mindset doesn't really change. I know I'm going to go out there and try to be the best version of myself, and that's the end of that.
I know it's always going to be tough to do in the middle parts of your career, but have you had a chance to kind of think back about how you got to this point with the Atlanta Falcons? Kind of when you come out of college and you have to take a year off and you go through the AAF, it's such a unique path to becoming one of the best kickers in the NFL. Is that something you had a chance to look back on at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a journey, but I'm not the first one to go through that kind of journey or the last. I'm just blessed that I'm in this position to be able to still live out my dream and compete and, you know, physically put the work in to be the best in the league. I mean, that's, you know, nowhere else I could, you know, dream myself being. And I'm just grateful for the opportunities that has gotten to me along the way. I'll reflect it when I'm done playing. I know that it's been a journey, but I think it's just getting started for me.
Just a couple more questions here. Young Weku, Atlanta Falcons kicker out at Atlanta Falcons training camp. When you go back, and I told you before we started, I'm kind of like the – I'm not an aficionado, but like for radio people, I'm an aficionado. When you go back and look at the progression of your run-up and your technique, there has been some changes over the past 4 or 5 years. What went into that, and what are you searching for as you adjust your lineup?
So outside looking in, it might be like really different, but – for there's a reasoning for everything that I do. It's not just like, all right, like I'm just gonna do it because I feel like it. It's at the end of the day, it's like, all right, what distance I want to be at from the ball, simplest term. And with whether that's taking two steps or one small, one big, whatever it is, I'm just trying to make it as consistent start point as possible. And for me, that was kind of the things that I have picked up along the way last few years. But as far as like leaning to my feel just a little bit, it's a balance of like that structure, foundation of the, you know, consistency, and then adding your feel to it so you can kind of own that and feel good when you're standing there. I think I was kind of balancing that, and a couple things kind of made me do some inconsistent things, and I really dove deep into it, and I feel good where I'm at. It's kind of a, you know, like what I was doing way back, and then obviously you're going to evolve as you kick more and, you know, just finding ways to be more consistent.
Did he just say that he was not an aficionado?
I'm not an aficionado, but like for radio people, I'm an aficionado.
All right. I heard the tail end of it, and I literally, I didn't hear Young Wei Koo's answer. I'm screaming on the back, on the talk back, the day. What did Abe just say?
I'm not an aficionado, but like for radio people, I'm an aficionado.
I'm not an aficionado, but for radio people, I'm an aficionado.
What the?
What is that? I mean, what does that even mean?
I don't know.
I'm not an aficionado, but like for radio people, I'm an aficionado.
But for radio people.
I mean, so he's not an aficionado, but by radio people standards, he's an aficionado.
What is he an aficionado?
So, I think what, so, because I was listening on the way in and was dying laughing when I heard it.
What is
he was saying? He was saying he wasn't an aficionado when he was referring to whatever kicking question. So when it comes to kicking, he's not an aficionado, but for radio.
But for radio people.
So amongst
I'm not
us.
An aficionado, but like for radio people, I'm an aficionado.
Because Abe, if you don't know, is basically an expert of everything.
Let me tell you about myself before I ask this question. You know,
he's not exactly a jack of all trades. He's more like a nine of all trades. But yeah, he does say and presume to know something about everything. And because he does play soccer and kicks.
You know, I'm not an expert, but I'm going to tell you about me first before I ask this.
I thought he might mean he's a kicking aficionado because he knows how to kick objects, whether they're oblong or round.
Oblong.
I'm not an aficionado, but like for radio people, I'm an aficionado.
It's the best. That is the best. Keep that on. That is the best. I had no idea he was going to go there. You know, it's literally interviews going great. Young Wei is like being humble and honest, forthcoming. Let me tell you about me, Young
Wei. I'm not an aficionado, but like for radio people, I'm an aficionado.
It's unbelievable.
Now, again, if you've listened to our station over the years, most of you have gotten to know Abe. If not, you know, we're telling you about Abe.
He's great.
But, oh, my God, that's gold. That's radio gold.
Unbelievable. I, all right.
My status is on Carnival Cruises.
Yes.
He's an aficionado on running. He's an aficionado on horseshoes. He's an aficionado on
cruises. Yes, Carnival cruises.
Jump in here, Oren. What else are the things that Ava's self-described as an aficionado?
Trivia.
Trivia.
Oh, that's true. Trivia. You're right about that.
European and American history.
He's an aficionado at random European or just random sports in general.
No. Like team handball. Team handball.
All those things. Yep. All those sports that you hear about or you see on the Ocho.
He knows. He's almost like he's like the Stephen Root character in Dodgeball. Well, of course, I get it in Not Traditional Sports Weekly.
Hey, that's a subscription.
You see it on ESPN 8, the Ocho.
The subscription. All right, man. Look, great stuff from Young Wei Koo. Real talk. Young Wei, we hear you. We got to see it.
Right. And we need you to be an aficionado.
We need you. Yes. And when it comes to gets exactly right. Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, man. Arthur Blank doing good in the community. We'll explain. Also, SEC coaches rating their opponent's worst and best locker rooms when they're on the road, which is interesting, and how Sidney Sweeney is turning around a company stock. It's all on the way.
I'm not an aficionado, but like for radio people, I'm an aficionado.
On a Friday, everybody. Hey, man, some news with the Falcons. They're kicking the tires on a potential free agent wide receiver. We'll tell you about that coming up in about 20 minutes' time in a Falcon report. All right, man, gave you the story the other day about this amazing commercial for Sidney Sweeney for American Eagle.
Yeah, you told me about it. You posted it.
I posted it because it's hot. And she's basically low-cut, kind of like a tank top and some sexy jeans. And she's basically, you know, looking like she's under the hood of a Mustang, like a 65 Mustang. She puts the hood down, wipes her hands on her butt, and then walks over to the car and then burns rubber. And everybody was like, ooh, that's sassy. That's sexy. Well, guess what? It actually did help a stock in a company that's kind of been floundering, American Eagle Outfitters. Stock jumped up more than 4% in Thursday session yesterday on Wall Street.
Wow.
So how about that? The Sidney Sweeney bounce. And there's an article, and I think this is, I'm not sure if this is Forbes, but I appreciate this. Gus, one of our listeners, sent it to me. But anyway, more than 13% of American Eagle shares available for trading are sold short. This is a case where somebody actually went long on these because the stock is kind of going south. So people now may be compelled to look at the long game with American Outfitters, thanks to Sidney Sweeney, maybe getting some people to maybe get some younger people or maybe even our age to go shop for that stuff.
It's got a little buzz.
Right.
I'm always looking for a good stock tip.
Denim jeans and the way she's wearing them, they're not like skin tight, so they almost look like they could be comfortable for, I don't know if we could fit them, but our wives could fit
them. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because I'm picky now about my jeans and stuff. Right. You know what I mean? I mean, like the skinny jeans I can't do. I'm just telling you. That's
but anyway, it's interesting.
It's too much.
But the article I was reading, they were saying that—
I mean, me.
For you. No, I can't.
I had
all my skinny jeans have been thrown out. They're gone. I had them for a couple of years. You know, that was kind of like the Vegas uniform for a couple of years. Untucked dress shirt, sport coat, skinny jeans.
Can't do it.
Well, that guy's in his 40s. But anyway.
Yeah, it's true.
But good for Sidney Sweeney. But the article that I was reading earlier today was saying that maybe Madison Avenue, taking a bit of a cue from ESPN with, you know, the way they've approached the ESPYs and maybe kind of swinging the pendulum. Not that I don't like to say woke because that's like old people say that, but I'll say political correctness. But the idea that maybe Madison Avenue swinging the pendulum back the other way with some ad campaigns and kind of getting back to the fun stuff like Sidney Sweeney in a nice outfit having fun with a car.
Well, I think that's what's been lost, Mike. I don't care what the phrase is you want to use. I think the funness
and making
people feel comfortable.
Right.
Instead of making them feel uncomfortable because, well, we can't laugh at that.
Right.
Oh, we can't do that. Right. I think that's what's been lost. But I hope so. Because I think some of this stuff is just way overblown.
Because you see some really, you know, I thought the last couple of years, the trend, we're talking advertising for a second.
Yes.
The Super Bowl ads are so not edgy and they're so worried about,
they're blah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Because, you know, of course, you know, it's all about social media. The tail wags the dog. They get 100 complaints. Oh, my God. That's like 5 million people, you know, about something which, you know, was funny. Because you can't be funny without being, have a little bit of edge, you know unless you're our good friend Jeff Foxworthy. I mean, he finds a way to do it. But I just think good comedy is always a little bit, you know, where, yeah, somebody's feelings might get hurt a little bit. Sorry. Anyway, we'll see where that goes with the rest of Madison Avenue with advertising if that trend continues. Hey, good news. Arthur Blank doing some good stuff today in the community. We know that, you know, he's always been supporting the local community, but a guy that is one of our faves, Terrence Mathis, coaching Morehouse, he's getting all new helmets for Morehouse College and Clark Atlanta University's football programs. And these are those Day-Day, what do you call these? These are the brand new lids. They're the super technology, super lightweight. These are the ones you see the NFL players wearing. So good for him, man. Making a difference, as usual, in the community. New equipment for the safety of the student athletes. Good job.
It is. And our guess is his old buddy, right, went to him and said, Arthur, I need your help. And Arthur went, okay, what do you need? And now they're going to have this for the program. Right. Mike, I think it's great. And by the way, do you remember, I think it was last year at camp, he brought his whole team up.
Right.
The whole Morehouse team.
We saw all those kids, right.
Was at camp. And we were like, what team? Who is this? And his whole team was there.
We saw Bob Whitfield.
Camp.
Bob Whitfield
correct.
Was with him. Yeah.
The staff, everybody. So, Terrence, man, good luck. We wish you nothing but the best, but that's awesome.
Dave, I'm trying to find the name. These are the new helmets, Dave. These are the state-of-the-art, the lightest weight helmets with the protection. You've seen all the NFL players. Everyone's got their own style. But this is the one that kind of has the ridges down the side of the helmet, if you know what I'm talking about.
They're very stylish.
And it's got that sequence where it almost looks like it's like a top would come off the top, where it's got extra padding underneath. So anyway, those if you're trying to get the visual, hey, Dave is going to look it up so I get the name right. I heard Rusty Manziel talking about it this morning with Abe on the Steakhouse. And it's funny. You have your old helmets from college or high school?
I've got two.
And I heard Rusty. I had to laugh. I had the old Riddell helmets that are like, I mean.
They don't look anything
like. The human
like,
cannonball. Yeah. And those things. And Rusty brought it up. And I had to go back to look at mine. They're so friggin' heavy.
Compared to the days.
The way the technology is nowadays.
Yeah. Those. And by the way, when those came out, those Riddells at first, everybody's like, ooh, they were so tight. And now you look at the helmets, I think they're so much better.
Hey, man, the SEC coaches ranking the best and the worst facilities around the SEC. No surprise, one of the newer facilities in college football is Texas A&M. All the money that went into Kyle Field the last five or six years. Mm-hmm. According to basically almost all the coaches, it was nearly universally praised as the best facilities for a visiting team when you head to College Station.
It's interesting. I've told you time and time again, it's one of the best places to take in a game. But with the new stadium, I say the additions of the new stadium, there's no debating. Like I've said this, you show up and you go, why don't they win more? Because that's what you're going to say. The support, the money, and it's just weird. But that doesn't surprise me because they do have great facilities. Who's worse? Who's the worst, by the way?
Well, it's you know, one of my faves. It's got some charisma and it's got some, you know, some style points for being old and nostalgic. Tennessee, Neyland Stadium.
Really?
Yeah, apparently they say that's the pits. Almost universally, everybody said.
Haven't they redid those locker rooms in the stadium?
Apparently not enough. Yeah, so again, it's go to Dog Nation. They've got some pretty funny questions that they ask coaches, and they basically do the compilation of all the answers to some of the questions they
ask. Do you want the opposing team to have a crappy locker room?
Well, I mean, I don't think you got to provide, like my father said in my childhood, I'm required by the state to provide you with the bare essentials.
Minimal
essentials, nothing more. So, you know, some teams like to have fun and paint the locker rooms pink.
Yeah.
You know, and colors which kind of maybe just take away your aggressive, violent nature, if you believe in that. But, yeah, I mean, the old stories, if you watch the Winning Time documentary with the Lakers, it is well documented on that Bill Simmons Celtics, which didn't need to be that long, but that documentary that they just ran where the Celtics facilities were garbage. There was no hot water.
No AC.
You're hanging your clothes on a rusty hook at the old Boston Garden.
Yeah, no AC. It was bad. I mean, those guys, they've said that for many years, and people didn't believe it. And that's another thing, man. They address, like, the bumps in the floor, right, that used to have those dead spots in the floor and all that. But, yeah, I just wonder, like, if you're a Georgia fan and you're hosting, like Tennessee, third week of the season, you want them to have a crappy locker room at Sanford Stadium?
Right.
You know, does that play into it?
They've got nice. I mean, like I said, you want to have good digs, but yeah, let's not give you luxury. On top of luxury, yeah. Crying out loud. Yeah. Hey, while we're talking college football, we were watching Coach Mark Richt, who's been dealing, as you know, with some health concerns, but he still got his fastball upstairs. When they had Carson Beck on the other day, we were watching in studio. He goes, you know, you were at Georgia and went to Miami. I was at Georgia and went to Miami. Only difference is you got paid more than I did, Coach Rick said.
He's right.
Which I thought was kind of great. So good for Mark Rick.
He's right about that.
And we'll try to get Coach on because he's still doing work with ACC Network.
Yes,
man.
He is.
Good dude, man. Hey, over the weekend, you going to be doing any grilling? What's the plan? I know you and I were talking about Day-Day as well, trying to do as least as possible with these incredibly steamy conditions hitting Georgia.
They are. And look, it's only going to last a few more weeks. I know it sounds crazy, but we'll be in the fall and hopefully some nice, calm, and cool weather coming up in September. No, man, I'm chilling. I have no real plans. I'm like you. It's funny because you got back from your trip, and I said, hey, what are you doing? He said, nothing. last week, and I was like, oh, okay. He said, I'm going to lay around, and I'm not doing anything.
Right.
So that kind of took a back seat last week, and now you're really doing nothing?
Yeah, this week. By the way, you know, I've got those beds of pine straw so neatly trimmed, and then the grass starts to grow, of course, in them, and doesn't grow where the dirt is. It's the most aggravating. Now, again, this is Orin.
Mike Bell Yard Man. Now,
this is you.
This is how, I can't even say the word.
I know.
It's that he is, but you know what word I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I'm just that guy.
Well, I can say bougie. We can say that.
No,
it's not even.
That's not that word.
Please, it's not even bougie. It's I've become my dad again.
It's
yes, say
that
it.
Word.
I anal retentive.
I can't say that word.
Yeah, it's just.
Well, that's a phrase. I think Mike's okay if he says it.
But the grass grows where you. It always grows where you don't want it to grow, and it grows where you. It drives me freaking crazy.
Yeah, that's what you are.
Well, that's where it's at these days. It's where I'm living, man. I've become my dad. I am those progressive ads.
That's where it's at.
Well, I'm not pulling any freaking weeds this week. They can grow out like damn tumbleweeds. I don't care, man.
Yeah.
It can look like The Last of Us rolling through some deserted town. I'm not pulling any weeds this
week. We're not going to talk about traffic or weather. Anyone brings up lawn care, I will handle it.
Remember, though,
unavoidable when you get
it felt like it was raining every day for a while there, and now it's been just hot and steamy to your point.
Right.
And you're like, okay, my grass is. That's how crazy it is. Like, I need some rain. I don't want to water this thing.
My spirit animal is a manatee, and I will float in the pool all weekend. I can do one more guy thing, old guy thing. We grind our gears once in a while. Did it the other day about that juniper traffic pattern, which I'm just really enjoying on my drives home.
Yeah, and I keep getting emails from pedestrians. Go ahead.
Yeah, screw them. Anyway, last night we were talking about what? Day-Day, there's a sidewalk. It's called the sidewalk. Stay on the sidewalk. You know, pretty simple.
I had a guy hit me up. Seriously, he goes, I'm a scooter rider. And
yeah,
he goes, and no, and he says, look, I don't appreciate Mike Bell saying any of this because he's putting my life in danger.
Oh, you know what?
That's what he said to me.
Not everybody who lives in the city drives.
See, Mike, that's how people feel.
I get that. But a lot of people still live in the city still do drive.
Okay.
And they need to get places, including in the city. Not just people passing through the city and me.
Would you run somebody over on a Lime scooter?
No.
No?
Florida Gator fan? No. That's not right.
Okay.
No, I just never felt that like the sidewalks weren't wide enough everywhere when I spent my time here.
Yeah, now that's true because you can have those scooters on the sidewalk and people are trying to walk.
Right.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I digress. I'll move on to the interstate, which again everybody can relate to.
Yeah.
If not, stupid city hipsters. But anyway, getting back to the ride home yesterday, made it through town. Downtown connector was a jam as you're used to. That's fine. And then eventually I get rolling down south on 85, and then you got the guy in the left lane. The dude in the left lane holding up about a mile of traffic, just accordioning, going about 75 and a 70. So technically, I'm obeying the law. Actually, I'm breaking the law, going 70. Hey, Merle, get that freaking Oldsmobile out of the freaking lane.
Yeah. How'd you know his name was Merle?
I'm just guessing. You know what I mean?
He had a vanity plate.
Okay. Yeah. No.
I was going to say.
I'm just keeping her at 75, going to arrive alive down at the village.
So you're making good. Oh, wow. You're making good time. Good spot for retirement, right?
And then you just come across the human speed bump. Because you know, like the jacklegs that are going slow in the right lane, left lane, those are the middle lane. Those people, that's the way they drive. But in the left lane, there's a responsibility to keep up with the flow. Look up once in a while in the rearview mirror. If you see a mile of people behind you and no one in front of you, this might be a cue to get in the middle lane. Situational awareness. And then, of course, I had the top down because the weather was good when I left the city.
It was.
Then one of those random thunderclouds comes over. You know, if you're going 75 or 80, the rain passes over the open top of the car. A little bit slower than that, you get wet, as I did last night. Because some stupid old fart's going 75 in the left lane. Hey, man, we don't normally do on this date in history. We used to do it in Guy Talk back in the day, but I thought today it bared mentioning. But before I get to those events, I do have to play a piece of audio for you that Orin just found for me. And I want you to hear this. We've been playing audio from SEC, from ACC Media Days. Well, the Big Ten has been doing theirs, Big 12. Are you familiar with Dave Aranda?
Yeah, Baylor's coach.
The Baylor coach. We couldn't find the question. So here's the question and the answer. This is making the rounds right now on social media, and nobody has any idea what the Baylor coach is talking about.
So the question is, have your fears about the transfer portal and paying players come to fruition?
Okay.
And this is the answer.
There's a scene in The Wolf of Wall Street when they're talking about throwing midgets, and it's like, hey, this midget, can he roll there? And you go, no. He doesn't roll. You throw them. You know what I mean? And they're made for throwing. And then after a while, they start talking and they go, well, you know what? I think they may think they know we're making fun of them.
What?
The midgets may think that we're making fun of them. So then I'm going to start, they may get mad at us. And then the guys go, well, what we need to do is make them think they're one of us. And they go, one of us, one of us. And I think that's the thing with coaching, call it recruiting, is it's that way. They talk about acquiring players, get rid of players, just like that. And the whole thing underneath all that is they make them think they're one of us. You know what I mean? And it's like, but you, I don't know, do you have to do that to win? Yeah, that sucks. Yeah.
So you know the scene, The Wolf of Wall Street. The movies, again, like all Scorsese movies, could have trimmed about 30 minutes off that. But they're going to say, again, we have to use the proper nomenclature, little people.
Small people.
Which still sounds very derogative. But anyway, the scene in Wolf of Wall Street when they're talking about getting those guys in, how they're going to throw them, they're Velcro, they're going to throw them on targets. And that's what he's talking about. So I guess what he was, the analogy was.
It's a bad analogy.
Trying to make transfer portal players feel like you're one of
one of us. One of us. That's a bad analogy.
That makes Deshaun
it's
Foster.
A terrible analogy.
That makes Deshaun Foster's presser at the Big Ten last year literally sound like Shakespeare.
Oh, I agree with you. I totally agree. This was a bad analogy. Why even go down this road? Like, I love the movie, too, but that analogy, like, you know what? Out of all the parts of the movie, I'm going to pick that one. That's bad.
Yeah, that's just brutal. That's just, I mean, we thought.
I'm just basically excited, really. That's it.
Remember, that was our UCLA head coach who said, we're great to be here in the Big Ten. Two great logos coming together.
Together, yeah, yeah. we play in California.
And we have a U and a C. Oh, and an L and an A. But anyway, so that was pretty awful. Hey, before we get out of here, today, man, some milestones. 45 years ago, Caddyshack, one of my favorite movies.
Hey, Wayne, what's with the pictures? It's a parking lot. Come on.
What are we doing?
Rodney Dangerfield ad-libbing everything. Harold Ramis, he would basically go, action, Rodney. And Rodney would just stand there. And Ramis like, no, action, Rodney. Do the bit now, and then he would do his riff. And Ted Knight was like, "Are all these people stoned?" Because that was really he was. Ted Knight was really not far removed from the Judge Smales character. And of course, Bill Murray, obviously one of my favorites. It was released today, 1980. Saw it in a movie theater. My grandmother trying to cover my eyes when Lacey Underall is topless.
Oh yeah,
at Judge Smales' house. And then finally, also on this date, 1989, thought it'd bear repeating one of my favorite records, Beastie Boys, Paul's Boutique.
Okay.
Considered one of the top records of all time by Rolling Stone. Made their cut top 500.
I love the Beasties. Right. I saw them back in the day. One of those big festivals, Mike, that they used to have. You know, and they came out. Beastie Boys! It was great.
Hey, ladies! Anyway, Paul's Boutique back on this day. Hey, man, that's our Guy Talk on Dukes and Bell. A week from today, we're going to be up at Lake Lanier inviting you guys. More chances to win on the way. But when we come back, we got our Falcons report.
You got to fight for your right!
Oh, that was my anthem, man. Oh. My God, that was our anthem in high school.
No sleep till... All right, we're coming back. Hey, man, happy Friday, everybody. We are going to talk some Falcons. We're also going to talk to Grant McCauley because the Braves do get back at it. They are taking on the Rangers, and we'll get to our strong arm story of the day as well. 5 o'clock hour straight ahead. It's Dukes and Bell.
She thinks she's the passionate one.